Well, Acts chapter 16 is a very exciting chapter in the Bible, if you're very familiar with it at all. It's one of the most exciting chapters, I think, in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, from the way that God directed Paul to go where he went, to Macedonia, which included Philippi, of course. It was an amazing story, how God stopped them from going from one place and directed them to go to another place. And then when they got to Philippi, Lydia, the seller of purple, was out there with some other women where prayer was wont to be made down by the riverside. And Paul went, and Silas, and they preached the gospel there. And Lydia, her heart was opened by the Lord. She got saved, and others got saved. She was baptized, and a church was started in that place. Exciting things were taking place. And of course, the devil doesn't like it when exciting things are happening for the Lord, and caused some trouble there. And there was a woman who was demon possessed, and Apostle Paul cast out the demon from her, and then she was no longer of any use to those who employed her as a fortune teller. And so they were upset, had Paul and Silas put in prison. And Paul and Silas were in prison after they'd been beaten. They probably felt awful. But the Bible says at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And then God sent an earthquake to free them from the prison. They didn't escape, as you know the story, but the Philippian jailer thought they were. He was about ready to kill himself because his charge was to look after, make sure none of those prisoners escaped. And Paul said, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And then his famous question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he got saved, and then he got baptized. And great, exciting account it was in the book of Philippians, or in the book of Acts in Philippi, what was taking place there. But we may often pass by the verse that we've chosen for this month, and verse 4 we'll start with, and then go to verse 5. It says, "As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." That in itself is an exciting time. It's an exciting thing. It was taking place around the area that they went to before they even got to Philippi, and those other exciting things took place. But the increase of the church there, or the churches, was a result of being established in the faith. We often fail to see it, but the church is an exciting place. And it may not be exciting as far as dramatic things happening from a physical perspective, but when somebody's life is changed by the power of God, that's exciting. When people grow in their faith, that's exciting. And so it's a place of increased knowledge. It's a place of transformed lives. It's a place of increased membership, as we see here. It's a place of great support and great encouragement. And so tonight, from these verses, I'd like us to think about this evening and preach a message entitled "Established and Increasing." So let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can be here, and thank you for the Word of God we have before us tonight. I pray that this portion of Scripture would be a blessing to us, and the thoughts that we have from it would be a help in our walk with you, an encouragement in our Christian life and in our church life. Lord, we look to you and thank you that you have promised to give the increase as we sow and we water. Lord, we thank you that you do give the increase. We pray for these who we've mentioned tonight. We ask you to work in their lives. Lord, folks who are at the brink, perhaps, of salvation, searching, wondering if they need to take that step of salvation, Lord, we pray that you'd help them to see your open arms. We're ready to receive them if they'd only call upon you. And Lord, may we see them come to know you as their Savior. And may we see your name go forth and be glorified in this place, and even in a greater way because of that. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We notice that it says in verse number 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith." The church. These were churches that were established in the faith. To effectively reach the world with the gospel, God established the church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And he made the church as a place through which the gospel was to be preached, through which Christians were to be encouraged, through which Christians were to be taught. And we realize that. To provide teaching, encouragement, and support for believers, God established the church. You can be a Christian without the church, but you need the church to be a strong Christian. You need the church, the support of the church, the teaching of the church to help you in your walk with the Lord. That's not because of the pastor particularly. That's not for any other reason that God made it that way. God established the church for a reason. If we didn't need a church, God wouldn't have made the church. God established the church because He knew that we needed it. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But going to church can help, going to the right church and with an open heart will help a Christian become a stronger Christian. And it will help the lost come to know the Lord. And so it's a great blessing, the church. We need the church to provide those opportunities for service and for growth. And in a day where people disdain the church, Jesus still said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the church is God's program and for this day and this age. I believe every believer ought to be part of a church. I think that's the biblical thing, is to be part of a church and be faithful to that church and to support that church's ministry as it seeks to do what God would have it to do in its area where God has established it to be. There's certainly no perfect churches, are there? There are no perfect churches because they're full of imperfect people like you and I. None of us are perfect, and so therefore we cannot have a perfect church this side of heaven. Unfortunately, many have been hurt by the church, by churches, but still the church is God's design for today, and God would not have it that people get hurt by it, but that's just unfortunate situation of mankind and mankind's being in charge in the church and so on, that people do get hurt. People can listen to sermons online and get information from lots of different sources and all kinds of different places, but God still has the church for us to grow. God still has the church for us to be established in, as we'll see tonight. And I know I'm not preaching to you anything new. You're here, right? To listen to the message live, as it were. And so praise God for that. But when verse number 4 tells us that they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. They, of course, that were doing that was Paul and Silas and some of those who were sent. And the them delivered to them as the churches. They were to go to the churches and pass on what had been told to them. Look at verse 41 of chapter 15. It says, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And so it was a message for the churches to establish the churches. So as we think of being established tonight and increasing, we're speaking primarily of the church. The churches were established in the faith, and the churches were increased daily. And so that's a good foundation for us to look at, the fact that it is the church. We're going to think about being established, the establishing of churches. Now, we know that these churches weren't being started at this point. They had been started previously. They were being established. What does establish mean? It means to confirm, literally or figuratively, to establish, receive strength, to make strong, to solidify. That's what establish means. It's to solidify, it's to strengthen. Paul was going around and he was strengthening the churches. He was busy confirming the churches, we read in verse 41, and now he was going back to them to bring a message to them, a message that would be a help to them, a message that would establish them and help them. God doesn't want weak churches. God wants strong churches. God wants the church to be strong. And therefore, we consider the Great Commission, and Jesus said there, to go and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so God's plan is that the church is strong. That's why the Lord said that the church and the people need to be taught to observe what He had commanded. There are a lot of weak Christians today. There are a lot of weak Christians in the world today, partly because church attendance is taking a big hit. And that's because there's so many things going on. On the way to church this morning, we drove down the street here, and already before we had started church, there's a baseball game going on. And the parking lot was full, the stands were full, and people were watching the baseball game. There's so many things that vie for attention. After this afternoon, we drove up the street, and the main street was packed with people going to the mall, going to the stores, going to restaurants. There's so many things going on in the world. And so there's a lot of hit to the attendance of churches. Life is busy. And there's always something else that can be done. And because of, that's one reason why Christians partly are weak today. But another reason that there are weak Christians is because there are a lot of weak churches. There's a lot of churches that don't stand for much of anything, and they don't teach much of anything, and so therefore the people who attend there, how could they be strong if the church they're going to isn't teaching them, isn't strong itself? The churches are weak because they're lowering the stand to be more like the world. They say, well, to get people in, we've got to bring in the band just as if you're going to a rock concert, and we'll bring in a band, so that'll bring the people in. Well, it may bring people in, but does it strengthen their faith? And there are lots of other ways that the church is lowering its stand in order to be attract people in, but that is weakening the church. And so therefore the churches are being weakened, and if the church is weak, Christians will be weak. Churches are weak today because they've replaced the Bible with programs and media. Now we have programs here, and we have media here. I have this little electronic device that I preach from. I have a cell phone. I do email. I text people. I think they're all great means of communication. We have the PowerPoint thing usually Wednesday nights just because of the setup here with the screen and so on. There's nothing wrong with those things. We can use them as tools, but when they replace this book, there's a problem. This book needs to be what is taught. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But Christians are weak because the Bible's been replaced by programs and media. And churches are weak because they haven't taken the time to teach people or to disciple people. Or we just presume that we just go on. We're talking Wednesday night, and we've been talking about evangelism, personal evangelism, giving out the gospel and so on. As I was preparing the lesson for Wednesday night, I just got thinking of all the different terminologies we use for giving out the gospel. Whether it be witnessing, whether it be sharing our faith, sharing Christ. And it got me thinking that this, in the church, we use this almost like a whole other language. And we expect people to walk in through the doors and understand what we're talking about. Sometimes we're talking about things that it's a foreign concept to them. We need to take time to teach people, to bring them up to speed, as it were, to teach them some of these terms so that they can understand what we're talking about. But we see here in our text that the churches were established in the faith. They were strengthened. They were strengthened and established in the faith. That's what gives strength to the church, is the faith. Established in the faith. When we see the definite article of the before faith, it's speaking of doctrine. It's speaking of teachings. It's speaking of the Bible, a body of doctrine, the Bible teachings. And the Bible says the churches were established in the faith. It's not quite the same as what we've been talking about Sunday mornings when we've been talking about faith as being believing, but it's speaking about established in the faith is established in what to believe in. That body of doctrine. Philippians 1:27 speaks of striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's that body of doctrine that includes and contains the gospel. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul, as he's ready almost to depart from this life, says, I have kept the faith. What was he speaking about? He was speaking about that body of doctrine that he'd been faithful to keep and to preach from the moment of his conversion to, as he'd grown in that faith, he'd been faithful to teach it, to preach it, and to live it. Jude verse 3 talks about earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Again, it's that body of doctrine. Of course, we know where it's found. It's found in the Bible. That's where that doctrine is in the Word of God. And so these churches were established in the faith. They received sound doctrine. Now, as we would have time to look at the context of what had been going on prior to this, the churches had been influenced by some people with false doctrine. Some had been coming around and they told them that they must not only be saved, but then they must keep the law of Moses in order to maintain their salvation. And so they were telling these Gentile Christians, these Gentile believers who had never had really no concept of the law of Moses, okay, now you become a Christian, now you have to follow these laws and live like the Old Testament laws in order to maintain your salvation. And of course, that caused problems in the churches. And so ultimately, Paul went back to Jerusalem. and Barnabas, they went back to Jerusalem, and there was a meeting at the church at Jerusalem, because that's where the first church, that's where it was started from, the church that Jesus established. And they went back there and met and discussed the situation, and it was concluded that a letter would be sent out to the churches to tell them, and people sent, Paul and Silas being two of them, and some others being others of them, that would go out and tell people what they should do and what they should follow. And so it says in verse number 28, it says, for it seemed, chapter 15 this is, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. And so the church at Jerusalem sent a letter out to the churches that were in the outlying areas, and they said, you need to be established in the faith. You don't need to keep the law of Moses, but you need to be established in the faith, and some things that you need to stay away from. So the false doctrines had been cleared up, and now they were saying you need to be established in the faith, to be taught the Word of God. You know, the saying is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If the church doesn't stand for something, the church is going to fall for anything that comes along the way. And sadly, I believe many churches are falling for a lot of things today because they've taken what they should be standing for, and they're no longer standing for it. And so therefore, they're falling for a lot of things that aren't right. Many are afraid to stand today, partly because they're not established in the Word of God. Many have been told that if they take a stand, it's being judgmental, it's being legalistic, and it's not a Christian thing to do, and so therefore you shouldn't do it. But the reality is, the fact of the matter is, that we must learn the truth so that we will stand for it and not be deceived. If we're going to be strengthened in the faith, we need to learn the faith. We need to learn what God has for us in His Word. And so we need to learn it so that we will not be deceived. The churches were established in the faith. Some churches are not established today because the people aren't being taught. But of course that requires the people to listen who are being taught. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you're probably familiar with these verses. But 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're living in a day that has often been described, and rightly so, as being the end times. We don't know when the end will be, when the Lord is coming back. And until then, we're to just keep on preaching the truth and keep on winning people to the Lord and doing what we can to spread the gospel. But if you're talking about being established, you have to not only be taught the right thing, but you have to listen to what is being taught. 2 Timothy 4, it says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul warned that there would be a day when people would not endure, not listen to sound doctrine. They would refuse to be established in the faith, and rather they would want to listen to things that just tickled their ears and pleased their fancy, as it were, and so they would be deceived. They would be turned from the truth and be turned to fables. The only alternative to truth is a lie or stories, fables. And so we need to recognize the importance of being established in the truth. The churches were established in the faith. When doctrine is not taught or not received, then Christians are not established. So there's two parts to it, isn't it? It needs to be taught, but it also needs to be received. And if one of those two things is not there, then people will not be established, and churches, therefore, will not be established. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, these are more familiar verses, but it's so important for us to recognize the importance of being established and how important it is in our day to be established in the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may hold up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Good doctrine is essential for the maturity of the church. You go to and fro in the world today and meet people who claim to know the Lord as their Savior and call themselves Christians, and you find there are a lot who are tossed to and fro. They really don't know what to believe. They believe one thing, and then it seems like they follow one trend for a while, and then they bounce away from that, and they follow another trend for a while. And then they bounce away from that, and they go this way and that way. What is it? They're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So, oh, this sounds interesting. Chase after that for a while. And then back over here, and back over there, and they're back and forth. The problem is, according to what we just read here, that they're not being established. They're not being established, they're not maturing in their faith. They're being deceived by the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yeah, there's deceivers going under the name of Christianity. And if we don't know what the truth says, we can be deceived because, they say they're a Christian. This person says they believe in the Bible. Well, then what do they teach what the Bible says? I had a man come here one time and not too long ago, last year, and told me he wanted to share some things with me, and he left me a handwritten letter of a whole bunch of stuff, and he came back to talk to me, and it soon came out in the conversation that he didn't believe that he thought a lot of things that Paul wrote weren't true. So I said, well, the conversation can't really go any further because I believe the Bible. I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if you don't believe that, then we can't carry on with what you're talking about here because the Bible has to be the truth. We have to be established in the truth. Otherwise, you know, there was all kinds of Bible verses in what he handed me and what he gave me. But if he doesn't believe that what the Apostle Paul wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is inspired Scripture, then we have a problem. He's going to be deceiving some people that didn't dig deep enough and didn't realize that. People are being deceived, and the Bible warns us that people will be deceived. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, it talks about people, the Cretans are liars and deceivers, and they weren't the only ones, of course. John warns that there are many deceivers that have entered into the world. We need to have a sure foundation in the Word of God. If we don't have that, we will be deceived. Christianity is being so watered down today because people aren't established. It's like Israel of old where people did that which was right in their own eyes. Instead of getting back to the Bible, they just did that which they thought was okay. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 to 14 speak of receiving the milk of the Word versus the meat of the Word. And then it says, the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what are the first principles of the oracles of God. He said you need milk again instead of being able to receive the meat. What had happened to those believers? They never got established. They enjoyed the milk, but they never got to the meat of the Word of God. They never got established in God's truth. And so therefore, time had gone on, sufficient time for them to mature, but they weren't mature and they needed to be taught the basics again, like they were babes in Christ. Sadly, many churches that were established have moved away from the truth, and so therefore they also have become weak. Peter told the believers in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter said you need to be reminded so that you stay established in the Word of God. Because there's all kinds of deception going on. Christians need to be established in the faith. And that's what was taking place here in Acts chapter 16. It says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." In conjunction with being established, the churches increased. What a great repercussion, as it were. What a great result. What a great situation that as they were established in the faith, that they also increased in number. Those things should go together. They should be things that are tied together. They should go together. More people were saved as believers came firm in their faith and shared the gospel. You know, the more we know about the Bible and the more we know it to be true, the more confidence we should have to go and share it with other people. And as we go share it with other people, then more will hear. And as more hear, more have the opportunity to respond and come to know the Lord. The thought of increase in the church can apply to increase of membership, of course, of a local assembly, and also can apply to the increase in the number of local churches. And it doesn't specify which was taking place here, but I would say to you, both probably were taking place. Some people think that, well, the preaching and teaching of doctrine, that's got to be boring. Doctrine? Oh, man. No, we don't want doctrine. Just give us some light, fluffy stuff to excite us and you know, get us all excited. No, we need to have the doctrine, but doctrine doesn't need to be boring. You know, a hunger for the Word of God and a hunger for the truth of the Word of God, when that hunger is satisfied by learning that truth, that's not boring. That's like, wow, that's what that meant. Wow, that's neat. That's great. And it's a wonderful thing, and we've had it several times doing discipleship with people and some new believers, and they come to things and they go, wow, that is great. I never knew that before. And what an exciting thing it is, and the excitement is in their heart because they're learning something that they want to know. They want to know the truth. Again, it's clearly a fact in the last days that some will depart from the faith. But that doesn't mean that there aren't still people seeking the truth and wanting to be established in the truth and wanting to grow in their faith and learn more about God and His Word. Proclamation of the truth, when received in the right manner, will edify the believer. It will say, hey, that's great. I want to know more. I want to go back to church so I can learn more. And by the way, if I'm going to church, I want to invite somebody else so they can learn something too. And so an increase being established in their faith caused an increase in the church. Now, I will say that there is knowledge that's just for knowledge's sake, and that can be boring. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. It can cause people to get proud and not do them any good. If all they're doing is just acquiring knowledge in their head for knowledge's sake, then it can be boring. It can result in a church not growing, rather dying off because people are just wanting knowledge for knowledge's sake. But when there's a receptivity to the Word of God to not only know it, but to do it, to apply it in their heart, then that's going to cause an increase in the church. The Pharisees had that head knowledge without the heart, and it was dead, wasn't it, the religion of Jesus' day? The people didn't want any really part of it because the Pharisees made all these rules and said, rules, 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 and there was no heart. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek to learn the Word of God. The Word of God will benefit us and be a blessing and a help to us. One reason the church has left off doctrine is because they think that people will leave if they are taught doctrine. But the reality is people leave when they're not taught doctrine because they don't know why bother staying. What's the difference between this church and that church and this church and all over the place? People need to know the difference. Again, programs are great, but they don't replace knowledge of God and His Word. As we learn and ponder the wonder of our salvation, we should want to talk about it more. And isn't that what being established in the faith is? When we get saved, we don't need to know a whole lot, do we? We don't need to know a great deal. We don't have to have a PhD to be saved. Praise God for that. A child can understand what it means to be saved, but as we grow in our faith and we look back to our salvation, we say, wow, that's what happened when I got saved. And we say, that's an amazing thing. And we're excited about that because we're being established. We're learning more about what took place in our life. Realizing the price that was paid and the forgiveness that was granted and the simplicity of receiving it. The joys that await us in heaven. Wow, I mean, these are great things to know, and we learn them. We're established in the faith. As we are taught and learn what lies ahead for those without Christ, we should desire to witness more, realizing the availability of salvation. So as we are established, we should increase because we share the gospel more. As we understand our salvation more, again, we become more bold in speaking about it. And so Peter says that we should be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. How are we going to be ready to give an answer? We need to be established. We need to get into the Word of God and be established in the faith. And therefore, we'll have more of those answers to give. We don't expect a new believer to be able to give a deep theological explanation of his faith. But those of us who have been saved for longer and have learned a little bit more, we can add a little bit more than maybe somebody who's first got saved and somebody asks them about their salvation. So our ability to give an answer should increase because we're being established in the faith. And so it really makes sense, doesn't it, that as we're strengthened, established in our faith, increase will follow, increase will come alongside of that as well. As we mentioned, there's not only the increase of a local congregation, but there's an increase in congregations. Because doesn't it make sense that if we get saved and we're here and we're excited about our salvation, we're established in our faith, we have a church we can go to, we say, praise the Lord, and we say, wow, what about place there? There is no church for people to go to. A church needs to be established there so that those people can be saved and those people can grow in their faith. And so the churches are increased because the people who have an opportunity to be in church realizes a need of other churches to be established. We'll leave off with the thought at the end of verse number 5. It says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. You know, the Bible records that the early church met very regularly, often daily, especially at the very beginning. Certainly they met daily. And the number increased daily. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you walk into church and there's somebody new in the service? Wow, that's great. That's somebody new. They weren't here last time I came. Imagine every day, every time. Well, there's some new people. Well, there's some new people. There's some new people. That's what was taking place here. The churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, not all growth comes that frequently. It would be a blessing when it does, and it did then. But more people were there than the time before. Imagine the excitement that caused. A growing church, of course, will better fulfill the Great Commission because the more who are out spreading their faith, the more there are being reached with the gospel. And so God can work through that and bring many people to salvation. And so the Bible says that the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. What an exciting time it was that took place here. Really, it's exactly the same thing that took place in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says that believers were the more added to the church. They met daily and people were the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. The same thing was taking place here in chapter number 16. Being established in our faith can result in an increase in our church today as well. And God established the church. He wants the church to be strong. He wants the church to be grounded. He wants us to know the truth of the Word of God and to grow and be established in it. And as we are established, our church also will increase. So may God help us to be faithful to teach, to listen, and to apply. Because we need to make sure that the preaching is right, but we also need to make sure our hearts are right to receive the preaching when it's right, so that we can grow in our faith. May God help us to be established believers, a church that is more and more established, and a church that is increasing, even daily. What a great, exciting thing that would be. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we've had to consider this portion of Scripture tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to apply it, ponder it, think about it, And Lord, take it with us as we go forth from here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would again bless us as we do go forth from here. And may we be excited about what you're doing in our lives, what you want to do in our church, what you are doing in our church. And Lord, may we be excited to grow in our faith. Lord, may we not be content to just say, I think I know enough. But may we have a desire to grow continually in our faith. Lord, as often we've said, and somebody said, our study of your word doesn't end until we meet you face to face. The author of our faith and the author of the faith, the author of the word of God. So help us, we pray, to be people who desire to grow and grow closer to you and be established more in our faith. We may stand firmly for the truth in this day when many are not standing anymore. May we be lights of the gospel to stand for the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.